The footy's on Triple M.
Sunday.
This is one of those days.
The day of rest.
When you wake up.
The time for reflection.
The birds are chirping.
To take stock.
You're smelling the clippings off the lawn.
Except on Triple M.
An absolute belter.
The Gem, the newest and most exciting prize and rewards program. The Gem is giving away even more. TheGem.com.
This is the Sunday Rub.
For Reed Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Big Sunday afternoon ahead of you. We've got Brisbane up against the Carlton Footy Club. And I tell you what, it is a must-win game for both these clubs, McDonald's and Reed Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy. Massive show coming up. Isaac Smith. For the Geelong Footy Club, are they going well at the moment? Carlton assistant coach Aaron Hamill, Hitch a Caravan, which is sponsored. We've got Jay-Z's Big Three, the Sunday Rub Quiz semi-final one, Joey up against Ross, and all the news throughout the day. But let me get around this great panel, and we're one down early, and we'll discuss that in a minute. But a man who played 280-odd games at the St Kilda Football Club and was a star, and he's Joe Montagna.
Hello, Brownie. G'day, boys. Yes, nice to be here. Only just a half day for us today, so we'll make sure we're up and about early and get stuck into it, and plenty to play out.
And everybody's favourite coach, and he's the man on everyone's lips at the moment. Does he get a coaching job or does he leave us on a Sunday, Ross Lyon?
Great to be here, Brownie. Great to be here.
You won't leave us.
Who'd that be? actually, I'm a bit sing-song in my voice, so I'm going to think about being more deliberate and concise with my language.
Very nice, Ross. And I was just in South Melbourne. To get a burrito. I go up to Mad Mex up there, and there was a guy walking across the street. It's not that warm out inside today. It's about 13 degrees in Melbourne. No top on. So he just had the jeans, zero top on, but he had a backpack on as well. And I thought, here comes Jay-Z. He's the only man who wears a top less than anybody is Jay-Z. So welcome.
Not bad, Brownie. Although you are the only man I know who has Instagrammed themselves making their own bed. Now, I think once you've nailed that, that's taking self-indulgence to a new level, don't you think? So I don't think it'll actually ever happen again.
Put at the bottom, this is a paid advertisement.
Do you do that?
No, it wasn't a paid advertisement.
It was just content, was it?
I am now an ambassador for. Yes. I haven't. Well, yeah, I got a mattress, so I'm not really sure of the legalities of having that, Ross. But Temper Mattresses, if you want a good night's sleep, you go to Temper Mattresses. But We're one down today because North Melbourne are playing across the road over at Marvel Stadium, and Duck's not here. And I've got on good authority that they're having a celebration around the 1996 Premiership team, and what a team it was, led by Dennis Pagan and our man Duck. But doing a lap of honour today, Duck, and there wasn't many people there, I'm being told.
They didn't turn out? Did they think the Kangas fans had all come? So it's Sunday, so all the Kangas 99-96 Premiership team.
Yep.
And they've been going since Friday, is that right? So is this the third day of their sort of 3-day catch up?
Probably. Well, I was fortunate enough, my great friend Anthony Rock come into town for the premiership, and he said, head down to Lamaro's and the Duck will come, and you know, but the Duck didn't front.
Right.
Which I like his discipline. He had the seven commitment, I would have thought. But Craig Shile, a wonderful, wonderful player he was. He was there. And look, it'd be fair to say they got celebrations off to a flying start.
So this was on Friday.
Friday, yesterday.
Rocky leading the charge. How many Kangaroos players did you see down there?
I don't want to give anyone up. It's part of the Kangaroo creed. If you're in, you can't talk about it. But there was a couple.
And then, yes, they kicked on yesterday. Am I right?
So Duck had the day off, didn't he?
Yeah. So they all were on the sauce again yesterday. So that was day two. I heard that was quite festive. But he wasn't going to do the lap. But then Dennis Pagan got on the phone and basically convinced him. So the coach still has the pull with the star player. He said, listen, son, get in the car with me.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to be holding the cup together. So Pago was able to.
I'll be there.
Yes, sir. No worries,
yes,
sir.
Dennis.
Listen here, son. We only had a salary cap of $1.5 billion all those years, and you got $900 of that. So you are going to be there, and you're going to get in the vehicle to go around. But it's been. We'll get to the camp a little bit later.
Yep.
But you've got some news around Rossi.
I've come in nervous.
Was that off-air stuff?
No, that's all right. We're just talking about if Ross had ever made us do anything that we didn't feel comfortable doing.
Yeah, trying.
Absolutely there was. Because there was a time
chasing and tackling.
We went to New Zealand and Ross made everybody on the list. There was a one-in-all-in situation where he made everyone bungee jump. So there were some people that weren't overly comfortable.
Ooh, that's frightening. bungee jump.
There were some that did not want to do it, but no one was game enough to say to Rossi, no, I'm petrified of heights. And in the end, we all won in all at the bungee jump.
Well, can we dive into that camp a little bit? That was quite a significant camp, the 2000. So I went, I actually slipped my disc, and I was basically bound in the bed by the bungee jump. I struggled to move all week. And then, the boys were one and all in. I think they, we didn't have a curfew, but we were a training camp. But they found the extracurricular activities, a few of the Saints boys.
Was that the camp?
That was the camp. Jackie Stevens and Dorse and Gilbo.
Right.
That was the sleeping tablets.
Sleeping tablets and red wine.
But that wasn't mandated, was it?
No, that wasn't.
But everyone was flat because we had a big night planned for the last night. We had for dinner up the hill.
Sleeping tablets.
We had some players get in trouble. They got caught. What they do, the young blokes, they went out, took sleeping tablets and had some red wines and got caught wandering around Queenstown at all hours of the morning.
But the Australian Open was
on. You do, you go out for a big night, you take a sleeping tablet before you go out.
Oh, these young blokes these days.
The Australian Open was on, right? So all the assistant coaches and the players, fair enough, Australian Open. And it was a leisure camp. It was whitewater rafting. It was a bit of kumbaya, bungee jumping. And so because I had the back and I was tucked up in bed, tan, couldn't move. And I got up for breakfast one morning and Stephen King, I thought, you look a bit dusty. And he said, oh, I've got something to tell you. And I went, oh, this isn't good. And he said, a few of the players got a bit of strife last night at 3 o'clock. And I said, how would you know? He said, we were all out with them. That was all right. He said, well, watching the Australian Open, one pot becomes.
Well, when your senior coach is in bed, Jay-Z, with a sore back, and we all know that he ain't going to be out, he ain't going to see anybody. Yeah. Everyone's eyes lit up and said, hey, Rossi's in bed for a few days.
You rely on your leadership. Joe was the head of the leadership group.
We're all tucked up in bed, the leaders.
You know what I love? I love when players come out and say something. So during the week, and I love this from Ed Langdon, and there's a lot of people out there who said they probably shouldn't have said it. The Collingwood boys didn't overly like it. They put it up on the whiteboard. They went after it. So just to remind you, this is what Ed Langdon said during the week.
They're sort of all duck, no dinner in a sense that, if they're playing fast footy on their terms, they're a very hard team to stop. But they're a bit of a one-trick pony at times. So hopefully we can dampen the way they want to play and on the back of that, go out and offensively play the way we want to play.
So that was on SEN during the week, and you can imagine that Collingwood people hearing that. And we spoke to Simon Goodwin Friday night, and he said he listened to it and he almost coughed up his cornflakes that he couldn't believe he said it. And then Alan Richardson also said that he probably made a mistake. I don't see it was a mistake, but then there's a little bit that we didn't get that hasn't been played on the same interview about his former coach.
Did it ever make sense to you that a coach would make that, a kind of a point that he wanted to kind of really stress to players?
Yeah, absolutely. It did cross my mind. I thought it was a bit ridiculous, but, at that point in my career, I wasn't really in a position to be arguing.
So when you got to Melbourne, was it something that you had to, kind of seek approval for? Did you have to say to someone, like, Goody or, hey, fellas, is it okay if I wear the long sleeve jumper?
No. And nor should you have to.
No.
That'd be like saying, can I wear a headband this week or do I have to tie it up?
So the long sleeve jumper that you banned, that Ed Langdon had to sort permission for, and now he's talking about it this
well,
far down the
track. Well, I'm glad I've got a platform. That's the beauty of being in the media now.
Dictator, so, you, Ross Lyons.
He had a little bit of foot in mouth with the... I've got a bit of Ed's Instagram page here. Someone sent me through.
He's like prepared.
Quack, quack, quack. And one trick pony, one flag. D's more like it from the Collingwood Horde. So simply, there was no rule. I had no rule. I had, and I tried to rack my brain. So I rang the football manager, Chris Bond. He said, no rule, Ross. And Mick Barlow, because he wrote an article about Monday that he wanted to share with me. I said, mate, did we have a rule? Because you got to put it in context, right? So Perth, I wouldn't have worn jeans in 8 years. Like, it's a pretty warm climate over there. So you're not dealing with long sleeves a lot. And then when you're playing Brisbane, it's pretty warm. Then Sydney. So the only two states would be Tassie and Melbourne. And I honestly can't remember, but Mick Barlow said the players had their own creed. So it might have been something he perceived, but I can guarantee you really simply, there was no rule from me saying you couldn't wear long sleeves. And Joey Kosem, was it at the Saints?
No, it wasn't. I think people maybe would have been a bit scared to wear the long sleeve, just in case you play the bad.
Just in case you're a target
if you play poorly.
If you play poorly in the long sleve, maybe then you cop the criticism.
I remember Clarko, because Mitchell took over, and I think Wingard or someone spoke at Wingard. They weren't. I can guarantee you, because Chris Bond reminded me, we had a young player, Jesse Crichton, who had permed hair, was peroxide blue, was long. And when I first got there and he was struggling, the assistant coaches grabbed me and said, oh, you know, we want to talk about his haircut. And Bondy reminded me, he said, mate, do you remember what you said? I said, no, what did I say? He said, I don't care what colour his hair is. I believe. As long as they train hard and they compete. So that was my overriding philosophy. So if Ed felt like that, he clearly felt like it come from somewhere. Didn't come from me. Wasn't a rule. Was it something? I'll share one more. This is really important because sometimes the player groups are, I think. So there's a late in maybe 16 when we started the struggle. We used to let players stay over in their home state because see your family. So our leadership group went to Chris Bond and myself and said, we don't want the players staying over in Melbourne because they obviously get a line of sight what's going on, right? What Melbourne looks like when they stay behind and we're struggling. We want them to come back with the team. And I was like, well, they said, no, that's what we want, a leadership group, but we want you to police it and you put it in. And when Chris Bond left the club, he got feedback, oh, you know, players are meant to say you don't let them stay over in Melbourne. That was driven by the player group. So it could have been where from Perth, when it gets cold, we don't want to show that we're feeling the cold. So, That's fundamentally the situation, but to me, I don't really care.
Did anyone wear long sleeves at the Saints?
Yeah, we had players that wore long sleeves when they probably felt like Milne? They needed to. Milne would have worn a long sleever if we played and it was really cold. Yeah, no doubt. But I can back you up because I saw the Fremantle property steward because they had a captain's run before the game yesterday, and he said no.
Paulie Salas, we love him.
And he said, I packed the long sleevers for every game. He said he packed the long sleevers in the in the kit. So no, there were long sleevers always there.
Two strikes for you, son. Don't let there be three.
This is the thing. He clipped you last time. We've had this conversation before.
Yeah, you went
okay. Although I got the text where he said he was taking it out of context and that, but, you know, one, it's a Malcolm Blight when you go down the race, right? So he gets one. Oh, here's good luck. He gets another one, you're bad luck. He gets three, tighten up. So yeah. I'm probably at the three. I'll look to tighten up.
Three strikes with Ed Langdon. And do you have, is there any doubt? Like Collingwood, Braden Maynard, I think Jack Crisp said something. They went him in that opening minute, Browning. They were aware of what was said.
It was the perfect opportunity to get him as well. So it was on centre wing. Yes. The ball went slowly to him, and I just thought it set the night up brilliantly. And it must be said that Ed Langdon didn't take a backward step all night. So there's a couple of balls that went in long inside their defensive 50 that he had to sit under, and he took a couple of marks. So
He's brave.
He took it on. He said the comments. And I'm not – I listened to Alan Richardson who said he made a mistake. I'm not sure he made a mistake.
No, is there an element of
– I love this. I know football clubs don't want it, and it's very insular because you don't want anything used against you, but surely using something against Ed Langdon doesn't propel you to a win.
Isn't there an element of what Ed was saying in the media was clearly what had been spoken about internally in their in their opposition analysis? He didn't just make that up himself. Maybe they didn't use the exact words, but the gist of what they were obviously preparing for Collingwood was what he'd said.
You take this office, they can't beat us. Yeah. It's not the words. I think it's about, it was disrespectful. Mm. They're a turnaround club, new coach, reigning premier. Yeah, they got this and we'll handle it. Yeah.
So you know Ed intimately, right? So you've coached him.
I thought
him.
I did.
So if he says it, is it disrespectful or is it just him talking as if he's just having another conversation with somebody? He's the sort of person who could be aloof just to say that and not realise the
it's
impact
aloof,
of it.
But perception's reality. What does everyone perceive it to be? Mm. How do you perceive it to be?
Well, I perceive it that's how they think Collingwood are,
yeah,
and that's how they're going to get them.
To say it, and with the flippancy, how do you think Collingwood perceived it?
They didn't perceive it very well at
all. They were insulted. Mm. So if you insult someone, you're going to get their back up.
Which puts petrol on the fire for people like Braden Maynard, right?
Yeah, and you're motivated as an AFL team in that, but there's just desire drives willpower. So if it just ratchets you up and steals your mind, and it just... Well, they're not the unbeatable team everyone thinks. They've lost six this year. So, and they're 21 points down against a Bulldogs team that's turned out to be okay. So I think they've got a challenge. They're not a dynasty yet. And you don't want to you know, it's humbling victory.
Yeah, I don't want to poke the bear, but, you know, you do love players when they talk about that because it creates excitement in the game. It creates a story. And if it was the NFL, and people hate us using American sport as an example, but if a player said that in the NFL, it wouldn't even make the highlight.
Yeah, right.
No, water for ducks back.
It's not what you say, it's how you say it.
It added to the theatre of the night, didn't it?
That's what my wife says to me.
As you're saying you love her as you're on your phone putting on a multi.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
Beautiful finish.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Brisbane taking on Carlton today. Massive game at the Gabba. And for both sides, Brisbane looking for top four. Carlton just need one more win to make the eight this year for the Gem. This is the Triple M Sunday Rub. It's time for Jay-Z's Big Three.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
Before we get to that, Jay-Z, Choice Hotels around the ground. Sydney up against North Melbourne.
Yeah, and Sydney leading by 8 points, 128 over the Kangaroos. Yet to score there under the roof at Marvel Stadium. Big day for the Swans as they look to shore up a top four spot. Hey, fellas, the top eight is set with two rounds remaining after Richmond's win over Port Adelaide last night puts him in the eighth spot at 46 points. Now, below them is St Kilda on 44. The Western Bulldogs, you can almost put a line through on 40, and Gold Coast now out of the running as well. But this is the eight, and Richmond is in it after a very strong win over Port Adelaide last night, in which Shea Bolton, if he's not the most informed player in the competition at the moment, he is in scary good form for the Tigers. And when you consider they've already got Dustin Martin, etc., do we feel like Richmond, if they can, or now that they've looked like they've sewn up eighth spot, do we feel like they're any threat at all? Like, do we feel like they can mount a genuine challenge with Bolton, with Lynch, with Riewoldt, with Cochin, very good last night.
You're convinced that the eight is set now?
I reckon you can set and forget
the
eight.
Well, I think Richmond make it. Carlton have still got to win a game, obviously. The Western Bulldogs have got two winnable games coming up. St Kilda got a couple of tough ones, both at home against good sides. So, look, I still think the Western Bulldogs, if they win their last two games big, can go in front of Carlton, but Carlton need to win a game. Your answer about Shea Bolton, I think he's the best player in the game right now. You've got Lachie Neal, Clayton Oliver, Brayshaw, midfielders, but there's nobody doing what Shea Bolton can do. There's nobody at ground level in the air being able to do what he does at the moment, impact games. The only limiting as his game is the fact that he can't score. He's kicking 39 goals, 39. If he'd kick 55 goals, he could be winning the Brownlow Medal at the moment.
He's scoring reasonably. He kicked 4-5.
Yeah. But imagine taking his game to that next level. I mean, he could be the best player in the game by a fair bit.
He did start the year quietly, though, didn't he?
He did.
Took a while.
Couple of games.
But he's come good. Yeah, to answer your question, I think Grimes is a huge loss. Martin, if they play finals, I think, would be back. They would expect him to be back for finals.
They'll be sweating on Vlosten if Grimes is out.
Yeah, with a rib. So Bulldogs make it. I don't see them as a threat. I've seen too much of them now defensively. And I was thinking about them. Their midfield, to me, Bar Bailey-Smith is slow. Mm-hmm. Or not quick. So there's a difference, right? So, but Richmond getting in, and they've been in winning positions against quality a lot. So, yeah, people would be really worried. They just can't have too many injuries.
Wouldn't want to finish fifth and play Richmond first week of the finals. I'm worried about Richmond now. They are in form. They look sharp. Shea Bolton, the best mid-forward player in the competition. Tom Lynch, when he plays aggressive footy, when he launches into packs and takes those big marks, it adds a different dynamic to them, and he's back playing that way. So
And then Curvis. He was critical in that third quarter last week, and he's gone on. He's had 29 disposals. And if people criticise Richmond when he's made captain, you can see why. We love the way he plays.
Well, we did the game last week, and they wouldn't have won the game if Lynch hadn't turned the game. And he is a big forward, but whenever a big forward enters the room and he's the king, his name is the king, we have to stop what we're doing because Jay-Z's halfway through his first big three. But let's welcome the man, the number 18, Roo Boy himself, the best player in the game, Wayne Carey.
Actually, I tell you what I did. I was trying to have a chat to Pago, but it got too hard in the end and we ran out of time. And I wanted him because he listens to the, he's listening to
really?
This show now.
G'day, Pagan.
Absolutely
Mr.
loves the
Pagan
show.
To you.
Sorry, Dennis.
And what I was going to get him to do is go through each one of you and what he thinks of you because he knows he would have coached against you guys. And I did start with you. I said, what would you say about Brett? He said, well, he had no right foot.
That's incorrect.
I know, but anyway, he loves the show. He loves Ross, obviously. And
why, obviously? No.
Well, I worked under Dennis. Dennis was part of my three-year apprenticeship of my 10 years.
To say hello.
The giddy giddy gal. He wouldn't have been talking much, Trouter.
Well, there was, if you can pick one guy, new guys to know maybe a little bit about that team, but one guy who you reckon, you know, was rusty, angry, and all of the above, right
Rocky?
From the start. Yeah,
can was it Rocky?
Bang. It was a bit salty, was it?
But yeah, well, because I didn't.
Oh,
yeah. So he,
but I actually liked your discipline, Duck.
Yes,
on Friday.
So he didn't go Friday. That was they would have been disappointed, the boys, that
exactly
Duck didn't go.
So I thought, no, I kept myself good for yesterday. Rocky didn't. so that we spread the ashes of one of our legends, you know, Property Stewart, boot guy, Orb Devlin down there on the, because we couldn't do it during COVID. And Rocky got off to a flyer. So while you're going through something like that and he's chiming in with his little bird on the biggie tin comments, and fair to say it didn't go over too well with a couple of the key people at the club. But he doesn't.
So he won't be coaching the Kangaroos.
He won't be coaching the Kangaroos. But you know what? He doesn't care.
How was the day yesterday?
How good would it have been?
The casual catch-up yesterday first.
Yeah, no, it was a good day. Good day. We all, it sort of and kicked on a little bit. Not too big. Ended up back at the Emerald up the road.
You look fresh, Doug.
I back up pretty well.
How did Mick Martin go? Was he there?
Mick, yeah.
I've seen him in Williamstown all the time, Mick.
Been bitten by a couple of bees, Mick. just swollen a little. But he's, no, he was in very good form. They stole my wallet. Like, how immature. So I got my wallet, and just halfway through the day, and you just want to relax, you want to enjoy the day. And I just sit my wallet there, so someone's obviously noticed that it's my wallet, and they've hidden it. So then I'm anxious for a couple of hours because I haven't got my wallet. And then I go to the toilet and I come back, and then all of a sudden they go, oh, is that your wallet under the table there, Doug? I said, wait a minute. I think it was Mick. He was playing funny buggers. Horse missed a 96. He played in 99.
Because one thing Anthony did say in your great mate Craig Scholder, I was talking about everyone's gone on in different positions in their life and that, but when you come back together, whether you're the coach, like Horse coaching Swans, or everyone just goes back to the identity that
you had
within
at that time.
Team.
Correct.
It's
correct. Which is and it is. It is because when we had the 99 one, when you got Horse and Simo, who have presence now as senior coaches, so they come back into that environment, and they're not Horse the coach or Simo or the premiership
they're
coach.
You a beer,
they're just Horse and Simo. You know, Horse goes back to him and I travelling overseas together. So a lot of stories, a lot of good fun. And funnily enough, it'll probably go this afternoon for a little bit as well. So the boys are at the game. That's started.
Choice Hotels around the grounds. Need a break, book direct and save at choicehotels.com. Sydney up by 8 points over North Melbourne, 20 to 12.
So they're having a lunch now, and then we're off at 3. So
and it's a great reminder for the current North list. I really like it because it helps with the belief system. This club, not that long ago, was winning flags, and we can do it.
Dominant. Right, back on the big to you, Jay-Z. So we're talking about Richmond.
Well, can I just ask on that, with all big weekend for the North Melbourne Football Club, all the greats together. Was there any chatter about Alistair Clarkson?
Oh, yeah, his name came up a little bit.
What was the hot tip?
Well, I think everyone knows that they're deep. They're deep into the conversations with Clarko, and I think that's fantastic. But I haven't got any other information.
You got a gut feel?
I wasn't really worrying about who's coaching them. I was just celebrating how good I was back in that 96. As I said, you've got to go back to where you were at that time, Brad.
They're still going to finish it.
The drink choices change these days. I mean, there's so many more options to go out there and have a nice have a cocktail or a wine. Imagine back in the day in the mid-90s, it would have been pretty much the green can.
Correct, the VB can. But you know what? And this is also talk about maturity. I reckon there were two or three of us that were on the Great Northern mid-strengths all day. So by the end of the day by the time I went to bed, I was okay. But they were a lot messy at about 4 o'clock because they were on the full strengths. Drank mid-strength. The boys couldn't believe it, actually. They said, I never thought I'd see the day.
Did you reminisce about your trips to Sydney over the week when you played on a Friday night and then you went and spent Saturday, Sunday in Sydney? Did you reminisce about those trips?
I reckon I've got to go and have my head tested because stories came up about things that I've done and I can't remember anyone. And some of them were unbelievable.
They used to hit a Chukamore, the water skiing trip.
But
oh,
they're telling me these stories, and I'm going,
Was I there? You put them out of your mind every day.
Maybe that's what it is.
The AFLPA are going to get another call. I need another payout for concussion.
Just give us a flavour of some of those stories, Duck. What were they talking about? You're on field
exploits.
You hit
the AFLPA up again, your shoulder.
No, they can't. You can't. Actually, talking about the PA, Tim Harrington, who I didn't realise was Ford's coach for 3 years at North. Well, he was there. He looked like Betty off Golden Girls. He's got the little tight grey hair, like curls. From behind, he looked like just any person's old nana sitting from behind. I just had tears rolling down my face all day. And then I put
you made him feel good about himself then, did you?
Oh, and that's the other thing about those days. It is all about, you know, hanging and having fun. You've got to have a very thick skin. Let's put it that way. So it was great.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
I'm essential to after the game.
Triple M rocks footy.
Brisbane taking on Carlton from the Gabba today. This is the gym for the Triple M Sunday Rub. Choice Hotels around the grounds need a break, book, direct and save.
Swans up by 8 points over the Kangaroos, 3-2-20. Sydney leading North Melbourne 2 straight goals, first quarter at Marvel Stadium.
Starting to put themselves in premiership credentials at the moment. The Swans won the last 4, but nothing like the Cats, who have won their last 11. And the man to join us, 21 disposals, kicked 3 goals last night. We welcome to the Sunday Rub, Isaac Smith.
How you going, Brownie?
Good, Isaac, and I tell you what, your club is going fantastically at the moment. You personally, 3 goals last night. We made comment this morning on the Sunday Footy Show that Geelong didn't have a standout player. There was no particular best on ground last night. It was just an even performance across the board, which you've been getting every game for those last 11.
I'll say I think the beauty of the side this year is that we haven't had to rely on one individual, where maybe previously Geelong over the last few years have had 3 or 4 absolute stars, superstars of the competition. But at the moment, it doesn't matter if you're probably on pay level number 35 on the list or number 1, everyone's contributing. So it's really important to how we're playing, and we're just playing a selfless brand of footy at the moment, which is exciting, and hopefully we turn it on at the right time of year.
In saying that, Isaac, I did the game for Triple M last night, and I, the Triple M VPs, I gave Isaac Smith 3 votes. Thank you very much.
Oh,
I thought you were best player on the ground, Isaac. I gave Holmes.
Thanks, Luke.
I gave Maxie Holmes 2 votes. I thought he was terrific. Probably as good a game. I know he's played
some
good games.
We're going to recap all your votes.
And I gave one vote to Brandon Parfitt. I thought he was very, very good without danger.
Homelines.com.au.
And Soward in the middle. But Maxie Holmes, tell us a bit about him, mate, because he's got some similar traits to you. He can run as well as anyone, but he was terrific last night.
Yeah, just quickly, do I win a TV or anything? Or
I don't think you win much for the 3 votes last night, Isaac.
Yeah,
sorry,
right,
mate.
No worries, those things
used to be pretty good, didn't they, Isaac, back in the day?
Yeah, not as much anymore.
No.
Now they only get 900 grand a year.
Nothing. Oh, we're wrong.
When you talked about 35 and number 1 on the pay scale, where do you come in, Isaac, you reckon?
I'm certainly not anywhere near number 1 anymore. I'll give you boys a tip. But let's go to Maxie, I reckon, because he might be near number 1 in a couple of years, I reckon.
Yeah?
He's a very impressive player. You're liking him to me, Lee, but he's got a hell of a lot more contested footy in than I do. So, he's been brilliant for us, and his power that he moves across the ground with has really helped the way we want to play this year, and has meant that other players like myself can go into other positions and strengthen other areas of the ground. So, yeah, he's been super important for us.
Isaac, Chris spoke about post-game, and I read today that, you know, the depth, not a luxury, but, you know, it's putting a lot of pressure on from spots, and we're positioning really well. But with that comes great challenge of there'll be some human disappointment without getting ahead of themselves. As much as everyone looks to the coach, I mean, we all talk about, like, you're a 3-time premiership player, and you got Hawkins, the great leadership. What role does those senior players play in getting around to the guys that are under a little bit of pressure and just keeping that stability and that great team spirit you got going? Do you see it's a role for those senior guys as well as the coaching staff?
Yeah, it is, Ross. I think since walking in the doors down here at the Cattery, there's never a big deal about playing senior footy, VFL footy. What you're doing at that point in time is right for you, and it's important that you just go out and execute what you're doing. And Joel and Chris certainly lead that with Tom and a few other boys. So, yeah, you know, any team that gets to final, there's just going to be disappointment. But I was winding Scotty up during the week, telling him that's why he gets paid the big bucks. I know he'll say that that's the worst thing in footy, but I guess that's why he's number one on the payroll.
Hey, Smithy, delve into that a little bit more, because I remember speaking to you when you first got down to Geelong and you explained the differences between Geelong and Hawthorn and just how laid back it is there and I guess allows you to go about your footy in a, you know, I guess, not so stressful manner.
Yeah, oh, it's interesting. It's you've obviously got the Geelong community and the values and the laid-back country lifestyle of Geelong community certainly oozes itself within the footy club. And this morning I was having brekkie at one of the cafes on Packington Street, just around the corner from the ground, and Sammy Simpson, who's now playing in the VFL at 1 o'clock, he was still at the cafe at 10 to 12. So
probably was in the twos.
He's kicked a couple of snags as well already. but no, it's just, it's amazing. You don't have that stress, just that level of anxiety of being in the city and even fighting traffic, and you get home and you're pissed off because you've been sitting on Punt Road for 50 minutes. So and that all just oozes itself within the footy club. And yeah, it's a really relaxed and professional environment, and it's a really good environment to be a part of.
Oh, Isaac, just speaking of coaching, we were talking with Ross earlier about Ed Langdon's comments, and Ed said that Ross had a, you know, you couldn't wear long sleeves at Fremantle, and he exposed that as being a myth because it didn't exist. Just to remind us again what Alistair Clarkson's view on long sleeve jumpers was.
Well, they just weren't spoken about. It just wasn't something that was made or developed in the Hawthorn colours. So I see a few of them are running around with them on now. So obviously there was a little bit of a push as soon as Sam Mitchell took over.
There was a bit of a change in philosophy. And just quickly on Sam De Koning, I mean, Max King, what a matchup between those two, and it'll be something we're talking about for the next 10 years. And Chris Scott absolutely lauded De Koning post-match. Say Tom Hawkins and Jeremy Cameron told him pre-season just how good he was going, you know, back in January and February. How impressed have you been? His role on King last night was obviously exceptional.
Yeah, he's been doing it all year, to be honest. He's taken the number one forward from every side we play against, and he's doing a really good job. And there's going to be some massive tasks for him in the 6-7 weeks ahead for us. So, he's going really well. He's a really talented young fella. He's pretty laid back, and he doesn't say a hell of a lot. But he's got to be one of the better young players in the competition, I would have thought. And Geelong would be pretty happy that they wrapped him up last year with a long-term contract.
Mm. Isaac, just for me, on a game plan technical look, we, from the outside, we've all seen the change. When I talk about what the change is, I'm curious is when did that get put on the table? When you all get back from pre-season and you settle in after the first week, and then at some point Chris and the coaching team deliver, look, this is the tweak we're going to make. From the outside, it looks like the uncontested marks have been value-added with overlap run and just flowing a little bit more and opening up the midfield, as simple as we can put it. When did that get put on the table and start to get delivered, and then you could start to see the change from a player's point of view?
Yeah, I think going on from that is, one, you need the personnel and you need certain players in certain positions to be able to execute certain roles. And I think we've been able to find that, especially bringing in a guy like Tyson Stengel this year. He just adds so much more potency up forward. But it was probably, to be honest, it was probably tabled in the final series last year when we just saw how the Western Bulldogs and especially Melbourne Demons were going about it, and how Richmond probably over the last 5 years changed the game. And then you see Melbourne took it to another level last year. And with the 6-6-6 rule and then the new stand rule coming in, that a lot of the changes that you've seen in different game plans throughout the year have probably come from a few of those rule changes, but also how Melbourne dominated the competition late last year. So, yeah, the coaching group did a really good job while all us players were away. And we got back sort of day one of pre-season, and it was probably stamped then. And we've just been trying to get it better and better as the year's gone on, and it feels like we're really starting to execute.
Fantastic.
Isaac, you've been unbelievably consistent over 250 games. I can't remember you having any major injuries. How much longer do you think you can play for?
Not long.
Not long. You're flying, mate. Well, you're moving just as well every time I see you. Granted, you're playing at two really good clubs and you're running and carrying game, but I don't see you slowing down. I see your durability. So I can't see why you wouldn't be playing for two, three, maybe four more years.
Yeah, well, physically I'm going to be fine, I think. I think it's the mental aspect of getting up every week, and I'm sure a few of these young tackers are looking at my spot thinking we can move him aside at some point. So, well, we'll just wait and see. I'm really enjoying my footy, and I probably can't say I was for a two- or three-year period over the last probably three or four years. So, mate, I'm absolutely loving what we're doing at the moment, loving how selfless the team is, and it's a joy to rock up every day.
That's interesting, Isaac. And Paddy Dangerfield, he was obviously late withdrawal with a calf. Chris Scott said he'd be expecting him to be okay for next weekend's game. Is that your information?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think there was any funny buggers there, but I did mention to Paddy as soon as he stopped playing that his 300th was meant to be on the Gold Coast next week, and I think he might have just maybe moved some chess pieces to get it back at GMHBA in the last round of the year.
Very smart. Yeah, very smart. I like that from Paddy. Hey, Isaac, all the best for the rest of the season with you. Push for your fourth premiership, which I think is a little bit selfish, to be honest, when me and Joey haven't won one, but all the best for the rest of the season.
Well, I said I needed five, so two to go.
Isaac Smith from Geelong Footy Club, who are flying at the moment.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, she's a hot footy.
Brisbane up against Carlton. Sunday afternoon football. This is for the gym. Triple M Sunday rub. Jay-Z's big three. We've had one. Now we get two and three.
Over the past few days, fellas, we've seen probably the biggest footy story of the year emerge in the revelations about the Adelaide camp from the 2018 pre-season. Not only Eddie Betts in his book, Extraordinary Revelations, Josh Jenkins backed him up, and then yesterday Bryce Gibbs spoke for the first time, and it's all quite harrowing, really. Yesterday, for the first time, the coach at the time, Adelaide's Don Pike, now an assistant coach at Sydney, spoke about it and spoke with some regret.
To Josh and Eddie and Adelaide players and staff who are involved, you know, apologise for the camp. And it's you know, sad for me to see that you know they're feeling that way and acknowledge their hurt. So you know, there's a couple of components there, which you know, firstly with Eddie and Josh, the fact that you know they feel the personal information they provided was used against them is disappointing, and that's unacceptable. And you know, I'm sad by that, sorry by that. Clearly, we entered a, as I've said before, we entered a space to improve from a performance viewpoint, and that space had some challenges, and we got it wrong. I mean, I think that has to be acknowledged that. You know, that whether it was our planning, whether it was our assessment, it was the execution or the follow-up or the debriefing following the events of the camp, clearly it was an error. I apologise to the playing group before, and I apologise again.
So some acknowledgement there, and a very different tune to the 2018 press conference with Brett Burton and Don Pike said things like, this is just stuff that runs in schools with children. We just sit back and laugh at some of the accusations and the stuff we hear. No lingering issues out of that camp. And there was no offence taken by Indigenous players. Now, we know that to all be all incorrect. Now, this story isn't done with, guys. It is going to continue potential class action here and potentially more revelations from players. An Adelaide lawyer said yesterday that more things are going to come to light about this Adelaide camp. What do you think, Ross, when you've heard over the past three or four days about the counselling sessions, the pre-camp counselling sessions being used against players? In any of your experience in 30 years of footy, have you ever confronted, or have you ever seen or heard anything like this being used to try and motivate or galvanise a
30 years
a footy long, playing group?
Some horrendous things happened in the 80s. More the physical stuff they got you to do, I think, the boxing and the torturous camps. Not so much the mind in our day. So the mind has come to the fore, I know, over the last 10 to 15 years, I suppose. So,
are you as horrified as we have been?
I just feel Don Pike's a really good person. Eddie Betts, you know, you'd have to have a black heart not to love Eddie. So I like the players being honest. It's about what we can learn going forward. I think Adelaide Football Club are a really good football club. They're premierships and great players. But people have been hurt, and that's when you hand your son over a club. You're handing your son over, your daughter now, and I suppose it's about the governance of AFL clubs. We've seen the injection regime. When I was listening, I thought, and I've been a coach, obviously, prior, how much players trust you and will be guided by you and want to improve. So when you bring something in, an outside resource, they'll think you've vetted it and we can trust you. Like, is it gullible, or how trusting is it for Eddie and Gibbs and those players to a council they've never met to give their innermost feelings and emotions and challenges as kids and children? Like, when you think of it like that, it's like, gee whiz, this is solid. So, look, I feel for everyone in there. I'm not sitting here making a judgment on them. I think there's been genuine, authentic apologies, and I think you're entitled to have a class action if that's the path you want to go down. But for me, it's about the AFL have put in governance around clubs co-opting resources need to be approved. The club should have risk management, and clearly anything to do with psychologists getting near your players and anything with anything medical to get near your players that's on the cutting edge needs to be have a risk management and tick off pre and governance. That's a lesson for me. I don't want to beat anyone up because we're losing too many good people out of the game. And Don Pike, I'm not sure he wants to coach AFL football again because of his experience and coming out the other side. No, he's got to own it. And at the end, when you know, I was in charge of that bungee jump in New Zealand, or the no sleeve policy, you know, no long sleeves or whatever it was, you got to wear that. But, you know, we can see the injecting regime. Whether Hurd likes it or not, he was the coach, and you have to know if there's an injecting regime. Whether Pike likes it or not, he is responsible for that camp ultimately. So, I don't want to beat anyone up. Let's just learn from it. Let's keep our players safe, and we've got a huge responsibility to grow them and look after them.
Doctor, you've had some strong comments about the Players Association. Do they have a responsibility right in here and now?
Well, having spoken to Tim Harrington yesterday, and this did come up, and he did say that they've had a lot of conversations with players around the camp that remain private because those players want to remain private. So they don't, unlike Josh and Eddie, who have now come out, there are a lot of players that have spoken to them privately. So you can only do the work on someone with the information they give you. You go to a psychologist and lie to a psychologist or anyone in that matter, and they can only judge you on what you're telling them. So that's all the Players Association can do. They can't go in guessing.
No. Josh Jenkins said he told the PA everything.
Did he? And did he say he didn't get the support from the PA?
Yeah, he said he had an argument with them about it.
Okay, well, you know what? So Josh should take that up with them. And when I'm not sure when that was, there are new people that are at the Players Association. I know Tim has only been there for the last 2 years. So I know certainly having had a few conversations with him in recent times that he is very quick to get on the phone and make sure that no phone call isn't returned. So whether that was a case beforehand, but I am a little bit more defensive now that I know a little bit more about the Players Association, because a lot of conversations are held privately for you know, individual reasons.
I just would have thought they're duty bound, aren't they, the Players Association, if they're not going to defend their players on a matter like this?
What about the AFL? So let's get down to the crux of it. So the AFL have done an investigation, as did the SA.
WorkSafe SA. Which is botched.
And they've come out and said nothing to see here. Yeah. So,
no, but Gillen did say, Doug, he said, there's a difference between laws being broken and then behaviour that is disgraceful but hasn't broken a law.
And that's what it is.
So sometimes the authority is tied. This is 4 years on. Now, we've had investigative journalists. You're on it. Sam McClure was on it. Caroline Wilson. They clearly had the conversations. And I would have thought taking it to the AFL, taking it to the AFLPA and taking it to Adelaide Footy Club. Why are we still dealing with it 4 years down the track?
Because it hasn't been acknowledged.
By whom?
Everyone's. I read you the quotes. They said it was laughable.
Not everyone.
But why did you just give up when they didn't acknowledge it? Why didn't you take it somewhere else?
Clearly people hadn't, by the sounds of it. I mean, Eddie's obviously spoken up and he's written it in his book. Josh has now come off the back of Eddie.
Mm.
So these conversations haven't been had prior. So that's why they're being addressed right now, because no one had actually come out and said actually what had happened. And
Eddie
and
said he told the AFL to the full extent. He just wasn't acted upon.
Well, there you go. So that's on the AFL.
Well, there's a difference between cultural offence and breaking the law, isn't there?
But the clubs and the AFL has a duty bound to look after the welfare of the players.
Correct.
And
I
then
Bertie
Betts says he's...
But there's a bit about clubs pushing back against the AFL. You have too much control, too much say on us. But this is a good example why you need the head governing body to be across and have some control. And that's what... But everyone, bar one person, has lost their job at Adelaide Footy Club.
Mm-hmm.
And the club's been decimated.
Was everything that Eddie wrote in his book, did he give all of that information to the AFL? So word for word, what he wrote in the book, did he say to that?
He said he did, yep. So when those integrity investigations happen, they are documented, they are recorded, they are transcribed, right? So all that exists in a filing cabinet in black and white somewhere.
But even the company that ran it took the journalists to court.
Yep.
And the nine masthead to court.
Yep.
What happened with that?
I don't know exactly what happened. I think it was a settlement and a move on, but
yeah, I think
Sam McClure, The Age, apologised on behalf of Sam McClure. I believe that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, but I don't believe that was in relation to the actual detail about the camp. It was in relation to some comments made about the people who ran the camp
and qualifications.
Their qualifications.
So therefore, it gets to that point. It can be. Okay, you might have been qualified, but what occurred with the players was inappropriate at any measure on a personal level.
Yeah.
Now,
in,
is that
in
breaking
a
law?
Workplace.
In a workplace.
Yep. So Josh Jenkins says that all of this is in a report done by the club doctor, Dr. Mark Cesana, who was unhappy with everything, had some huge concerns. Now, where is that report? Has the AFL received it, and why didn't they act upon it? That's why this story, that's why we're
that
still talking.
That was fascinating.
That was why we're still talking
Jenkins
about it.
I heard Jenkins on SEN. It was fascinating, and I couldn't stop listening. It was like, oh, my God, he really dove in, didn't he? But I said on Footy Club, bad things happen when good men stay silent. You know, and that's been used before, but I know, and I say with conviction, Luke McFarlane would have stood up if he was seeing that occur, and he would have said, this needs to stop now. I got 100% conviction. Because
Pavlich as well.
Mm. Zach Dawson would have said, what's this? This is garbage. Mm. Stop.
So do you sympathise with the leaders, Joey, in that situation? Like the peer pressure, when you're all rowing the boat the same way, you've got Rory Sloane there, Taylor Walker, two people we respect. Like, is the senior leaders let down some of these players? Why didn't they do that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they have.
Or do you feel sympathy in when you're all you're in that moment?
I understand it would have been a difficult situation for the leaders. Yeah, trusting the club with what they thought was to help them get better and thinking, okay, am I reading this right, or speaking up and saying no and standing up to the club? It's not easy. It's not easy. So it would have taken a lot of conviction of someone, and no one was prepared to
you're
do it.
You're going into dangerous territory when you're looking to unpack someone's childhood and improve that or whatever they do with that to help AFL performance.
Yeah.
That's as simple as I can put it. Like you're playing with fire.
Yeah.
They played with fire and they got burnt.
Be done at a camp. That, I mean, a three-day camp, unpacking that takes months. That might take years to unpack to get better. You can't be doing that in 48 hours.
Couldn't agree more.
How do you think you would have reacted, Duck? You're as strong a playing figure, as strong a captain, one of the most respected captains in the game. How do you think you would have? Where do you think you would have acted?
I've
in that
thought
moment?
About it. In hindsight, you sit here and think that you would, you probably
it's easy
would
in hindsight,
stand
yeah.
up exactly. But I'm also one of those that sort of go, okay, well, if this can improve us, if this
100%,
if this can improve us, then I'm going to be
trust
front and center and trust and do it to the best of my ability. And lead the way in that. So, now that we know what had happened, so if, for instance, if I had to sit there and talk about my childhood and, you know, my father and all that sort of stuff and unpack all of that, then it would have been very harrowing for me to do that. And I've thought about that. And then I've thought, would have I spoken up? And I think I would have, but I mean, who knows?
You probably would have shared it, but then when it was getting thrown back in your face.
I think that's
the key. Or it might have been one at the time you're thinking, hang on a minute. And then I reckon as it's maybe the week later or 2 weeks, they've got back going, hang on a minute, what we just did. And maybe they did then act and go and speak to the officials at the club and want to do something about the whole program. So maybe it wasn't, maybe at the time they knew it was obviously not right, but sort of it takes a bit of time to actually digest and think, hang on a minute.
You're right. But as always, these things that start. So on the, let's get to an injection program and supplement use. So it starts with, well, cortisone helps and local helps. And then you push it, then that tips over. Then we get to the mental side of the game and imagery and affirmation. And someone looks to take it a bit, it's got a tipping point and where you cross a line. And that's what's happened on both
sides. Fascinating chat and hard to unpack everything that's gone along with it. And so we hope that everybody can move forward at some point with it.
Download the Listener app now to stream every game on Triple M Footy.
He's got some class.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
For the gym, this is the Triple M Sunday Rub. Brisbane up against Carlton from the Gab, but not far away from that one, starting a bit over an hour. We've got the Duck, we've got Ross, we've got Joey, and we've also got Jay-Z for the next hour and a half. Now, the Sunday Rub quiz at semi-final number one.
Pot, Palmer, and proving you're smarter than your mates. It's the Sunday Rubs pub quiz.
If we're up to the semi-final, that means we haven't got a lot of Sundays to go, I believe. So two more Sundays to go after this one. So this is semi-final number one. That'll go into semi-final number two, obviously, and then after that is the grand final. But today is Joey up against Ross. Now, obviously, there's
what?
Two other...
What?
Is it?
$1.05.
Would you like me to replay that? Joey up against Ross. Right. Now, there's two other players in here that you can use for a lifeline. So I am going to let you, Ross, because Joey's won more quizzes. Choose your lifeline out of Duck or Jay-Z. You can't have me.
Duck.
Well, it doesn't
say Ross. He's answered more questions than
exactly. You don't want to think about it. Ross. It was just Duck.
So how does it work with the...
Answers the most
mate,
questions.
When you go to the
everybody.
War, you're in with the Duck.
How does it work when you want to use your lifeline? How does that work?
Well, you probably...
How many...
How does that work?
How many...
I'm gonna get management to tell me my year.
So what do I do? Do I say Joe Lele and then not know it and say Jay?
Okay, so it's a team effort, I'm being told. So if Duck ends up on three and you end up on two, the total is five. If you end up on five and Jay-Z gets zero, the total is five.
So it's a double.
So everybody's in. Is that right, Rabsy? Yeah. Strange.
Can Duck go Duck Duck rather than me go Ross and hand it the Duck?
Yeah. But
we're all in.
You can discuss between yourselves. So if he goes, duck, duck, like he does.
Hang on, do I buzz in? Or does Ross do
his teammate. Just listen up, mate. Teammate. You're not doing your lap of honor at the moment.
Sorry,
so you can go, duck, duck. And then you two can discuss it. Yeah, you're a team. You're a team.
For how long?
On every question.
Okay. As soon as I get bored.
All right, thank you.
All right, so let's get into it. Have you been paying attention?
Lily. Yes.
I'm gonna negative one.
Yes. That
is thank you, Joey.
Thank you.
I thought that was the first question.
And Ross.
He's been sitting on that for months, Joey.
Which Hawk played 250 games?
Ben McAvoy.
He did. So you're back to square
right,
now.
Right. Okay.
So we'll read that out.
I get sick of you, Lidley.
Okay. Nearest the pin. So you both get a go. How many games did he play at St Kilda before being traded?
Ross.
Duck, duck.
I never played him. Sorry, duck, duck, duck.
Let's just discuss.
Well, I think you got drafted in.
He played out of a grand final.
Seriously? Food in 08.
Yep.
Did you leave him out of a grand final?
Around 12. He played it. And then.
We know his biography.
In 08. And then
dropped
9.
Dropped him for a grand final. Yeah.
Seriously.
In 9, he wouldn't have played.
Three,
in 10,
about
he played 22. 11.
Tick,
84.
It was in the 90s, so 95.
It was 91, so Joey gets that one.
Oh,
didn't
was close. Bad, 84.
Didn't even want to confer with his man over there, Jay-Z.
I see here.
Trent Cotchin earns AFL Life membership this weekend. Which player did he win the Brownlow medal alongside? That was Duck.
Mitchell.
Sam Mitchell, yes.
I thought that was
that's one piece.
Right on, Duck.
Rory Laird plays game 200 later today. Which three other current Adelaide players have played over 200? You get 1 point for each.
Brody Smith, Taylor Walker. Does he have to be playing today or is he just in the list like Rory Sloane? Yeah.
Three. One, two, three. So it's four to one.
Why do you get three for that? It's one question.
Yeah, I'm going to overrule that.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I think you get two. That's too easy. Rabsy.
It's finals time now.
Ed Langdon made the news this week. He sure did, Ross. comments he made pre-game about opponents of Collingwood. What is the name of his brother?
Ross.
Who played at the Magpies.
That was Joey.
Tom. I reckon it was Joey.
It was Ross.
It was Joey.
Ross can have it.
No. I don't know.
Tom Phillips.
Charity.
Tom Langdon.
Tom Phillips, he called him.
Oh, he got it wrong.
He
got it wrong.
Tom Langdon.
Tom
Langdon.
Tom Langdon is right.
Lapse of concentration.
That's what happens, Joe. Yeah,
he's too all.
Fumble.
David Mundy announced his retirement this week, having played the most games in Fremantle's history. Who has played the second and third most?
Matthew Pavlich and Aaron Sanderlands.
Yes. Good. Joey, 3-2. Cryptic name game. A former Adelaide Crow whose surname would be defined as having or showing quick-witted intelligence. None of these blokes. Nigel Smart, the firewalker. Can you believe that Graham Corns made them walk on fire?
Yeah. Talk about camps.
Yeah. Okay.
Burn his foot.
Thank you, Duck. A former St Kilda and Carlton player whose surname is also a stable.
Dean Ross.
Oh.
The stable of what?
Well,
staple.
Diet. Staple food staple diet that can be served steamed or fried, usually paired with Asian cuisine. Dean Ross.
I know.
Good player, Dean Ross.
Tough.
Okay, I'll name a VFL number, player, past or present, and their football club. All they need is their playing number.
Hey, Jay, you.
Sorry,
Jay.
You're
here today?
Okay.
He's stuck on the camp.
Still with the Adelaide theme. Richard Douglas.
Lele. 36.
Incorrect. Ross. 17.
Incorrect.
Richard Douglas. 14?
Actually, can we? I think it's Jay. Am I allowed to confer with my partner?
No, you've been in.
I'm allowed to confer with my partner. 26. I think it's 26, yeah.
Yes, that is correct. So it's 4-4.
He won a best and fairest, I think.
He did.
Sean, not a well man.
Lele.
That was Lee.
6.
Oi. It's Joey.
Oi. Number 6.
Lele did get in first, Doug. So it's 5-4. Luke Shuey, Ross, West Coast.
Luke Shuey, West Coast. He's 13.
You can talk.
Sign language.
I'm a team player, right?
Oh, this is a good one. Fremantle.
Ross. No.
Shane Parker.
Lele.
Nosy Parker.
Lele.
No, Ross was in.
Oh, sorry.
Parker.
Was he in the 40s?
No.
Was he?
No. Hang on, Jay-Z.
Parker. What do you think?
Have a guess.
Come on.
Okay. It's not 50. And it was 12. No. What was it?
What are you thinking? I'm thinking like 24, Jay-Z, something like that.
I thought it was 9.
9? Shane Parker.
Come on.
No, okay. He was
awkward.
That was the brother, the taller brother.
Matty Parker.
Buzz him out.
No.
Come on.
24.
23. Peter Burgoyne, Port Adelaide.
Ross.
He goes Ross and looks straight at Duck.
Well, I know he was.
He was
9.
The short one, right? Yeah, he was very talented. I reckon Peter. He was a single digit. Was he number 1 or something like that? 9?
Nine.
Yeah. He was short. Yeah. He was 9. Small. 9.
No.
Lele, 7.
Yes. He also wore 26 for 3 seasons as well. Jack Ginnivan.
Ross.
33?
Yes, certainly is.
Where's teamwork? I get in.
Is that 6 apiece?
Strategy.
The last one is Jason Heatley, St Kilda.
Oh, reservoir.
Jason Heatley. It's all right. Hey. It's something in the teens. He's in the teens. Hey.
We have, how long does it take?
Hurry up.
How long
does it take?
It's in the teens.
18. No.
I reckon it was 14.
No.
Ross, he's in the 20s.
Yes, he is.
He's in 20s. 20s.
24.
What do you think? 24.
24 is correct.
How do I lose this semi-final?
You played with the bloke and you couldn't even tell his number.
I never played with Heatley.
Who kicked 3 goals in Brisbane's 2001 underdog premiership victory over Essendon?
Lele. Who was the hardly played any footy afterwards?
No, it's incorrect.
Des Headland.
Bradshaw. Luke Power. Which Brisbane player was sent to Carlton along with pick 12 in exchange for Brendan Favola?
Oh, JJ. Lockie Henderson.
Lockie Henderson is correct.
Welcome, Jay.
I had to contribute something. Having won 3 premierships since becoming the Brisbane Lions, how many VFL premierships did Fitzroy win?
Ross.
Come on, Ross. You
they wouldn't have won too many, Duck. I wouldn't have thought.
Did you say VFL premierships?
VFL premierships.
Yeah, well, they only won the...
They won some in the early hundreds.
They won some 1800 ones.
They did.
I reckon we're talking 8 or 7.
Six.
I reckon they went boom, boom. 5.
Six.
Go on, JJ, have a crack.
Oh, six, yeah. I'm allowed to have a crack.
I'm at seven.
Four. Lele.
Eight.
Eight.
Oh, yeah. So,
closest
17 to the games the line, how many goals did Brendan Favola kick nearest the pin?
What's
his career? Sorry,
seven. How many goals did he kick at the Brisbane Lions in 17 games nearest the pin?
Duck. Ross.
Duck. So Ross. So
I reckon he. Yeah,
17 games. Four, so two,
28.
I reckon. No. I reckon 17. I reckon 33.
He started quite well.
Lele.
30. Yes. What do we
Yeah, I was just guessing. Yeah, I reckon.
I
reckon we go with four. 17 games. I reckon we go 37.
37. All right.
Oh, 38.
48. So, let's have a...
You shouldn't be a...
you should jump in
there. Go one more.
Jeez.
So, Joey leads by one, going into the Who Am I? I was born on the 13th of December 1972 and I played 341 games.
How many games?
Hang on, 72.
341. For 4 points, I booted 554 goals in my one club career. I'm a two-time best and fairest winner at the Western Bulldogs.
Ross.
Lately.
Chris Grant.
Chris Grant is correct. And Ross.
Joey crumbled in the final. Joey crumbled in the final.
That was like your replay grand final.
It's all about list management.
That was like your replay grand final.
It's all about list management.
You know what?
I had a selection. It's about, you know, pick the dark.
Does that mean I'm out?
You lost to Ross, who hasn't answered one.
He's one of the great home and away teams, Joey.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
Please just call me the Oracle from now on.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the Sunday Rub for the gym. This is the Triple M Sunday Rub. Brisbane up against Carlton for this afternoon from the Gabba. Now, we've had a segment all year, and Jay-Z's been promising that we'd have a sponsor all year. God. And I'm glad to announce, and I'm just looking over at Jay-Z now, and he's got a beautiful hoodie on, which says Everything Caravan and Camping. Now, you can get everything you need for your next caravanning, camping, and four-wheel drive trip from the most popular brands at everythingcaravancamping.com.au. We welcome them to the Sunday Rub because they are the official sponsor of Hitch Your Caravan.
Hey, yes, that's right.
On Triple M Sunday Rub.
I do it for a caravan.
What?
Caravan.
We're hitching the caravan. For everything caravan and camping, get everything you need for your next caravanning, camping and four-wheel drive trip from all the most popular brands at everythingcaravancamping.com.au.
I think you're all over this, Duck, because I know that you're a camper. I know you like to take the kids camping away in a camper van.
Hey, I'll try it.
Once upon a time, I mean, I love sleeping under the stars. As long as there's five.
And you're a good listener.
As long as there's five.
No, we got it.
Because I love the big four. I love going to the big fours now because the kids can just run off and play. And you know,
they're great. I actually went into one of the stores yesterday, even though this is online. If I had had time, I would have went online. But, you know, my daughter was going away for the Odyssey camp. And they actually, cross-country skiing. So I had to get the thermals and all that. So but I saw all the equipment. I thought, oh, this is a brave new world. I've got to get into the camp. But I'd like to go first today, Jose, because I've only got one. you introduced and all that, but I only got one, right? So if I miss it, I'm stuck. So have you finished? Or?
No, you go.
I'm going with O'Driscoll from Fremantle.
Nathan.
Yeah, number 30. Is he good? He had 20. Mm. He kicked. That explosion. Look, we talk about Warner, and he's got pace and kick. This kid, that goal was a special goal in that moment. And to me, it's like a window in. I just think they've got a player there. So I'm hooking my wagon to him.
Hitch your caravan, camping, and
now we've got a sponsor. Everything. Caravan and camping. Do you like him?
He's a beauty.
I think he's going to be a star.
You probably picked him as well, did you, Joey? Nathan O'Driscoll?
No.
You had a look at his tape, though, didn't
can
you?
Can I go like next?
No, he loves the accumulators. They don't penetrate. This kid penetrated.
Well, speaking of highly talented youngsters that's just off Broadway at the moment that I want to hitch my caravan to, he's my boy, long term. Mm. Kid played at the Gold Coast Suns yesterday named Elijah Hollins. He was a top 10 draft pick a couple of years ago. Had an ACL injury, Brownie. He had 23 touches and 2 goals yesterday. Big size mid-forward, the perfect prototype of the midfielder into the future. He's going to be an absolute star, this kid. He's just had the 3 or 4 games now under his belt. Watch out for him to be a huge explosion. Elijah Hollins.
I reckon his brother's still at school. He's going to be better.
Ollie Hollins
is a good
player.
His dad played at Richmond a handful. Kicked a match winner over at Subiaco.
Ben Hollins.
I reckon he's a Wagga boy up from that way. Or
Wodonga. He's Wodonga.
Wodonga.
Really nice guy, Ben Hollins.
Jeff Gershon coaching. So, although that was small, it's interesting that the boys are big.
Yep.
Well, talking about big, I'm going to hitch my caravan to young Sam Darcy. What a player this kid's going to be. So 5 intercept grabs. You can just see that he's going to obviously play forward as well. He can play both ends of the ground. I love the fact they haven't rushed him into it. He'll play the next couple of games and maybe finals. Boy, what a player he's going to be.
I thought he was their best defender yesterday.
And if he keeps that athleticism, because he's still growing, I reckon.
209.
You would have loved
huge.
It. So, he was late on the contest.
We love our man Luke, but Sam.
Aggressive. Sam, put a knee in. Yes. Like, he didn't get there.
He put the knee in, didn't he?
It was awesome. This was a 50. Yeah. I thought this kid's got a will to win.
Yeah. He's probably an obvious one to hitch to, because you can just see that he's going to be very good for a very long time.
Number 2 pick. We all love him in here. But just can we have a listen to Luke Beveridge, the Western Bulldogs senior coach, last night? Did Luke Beveridge hitch his caravan to Sam Darcy or not? I'm not sure. Let's have a listen.
Yeah, I thought Sam went pretty well. He intercepted a few times, and it'll take him a fair while to acclimatise to the level. And but ultimately, he got in the way a little bit. Our back end hasn't been that cohesive all year. We've changed a lot. It's been quite dramatic change. It's the evolution of our team. I thought Sam did okay in his first game. And we'll learn a lot from the experience.
Wasn't a strong hitch.
Nah, fair to say, it's going to take a fair bit at the moment to make Luke happy.
Organising the caravan, wasn't he? He actually didn't hitch it. He just thought, I'm going to leave it off for a while.
I'm going to hitch my caravan.
And there's two things that I want to. I think that Richmond can play in the grand final. I think that they can get a good draw and play in the grand final. The other thing I'm going to hitch my caravan
without
to.
Without Grimes and Dusty.
Grimes will be back. Don't you worry about that.
He's had a tendon on.
He's had hamstring surgery.
Who?
He's had surgery.
He might be back for final. You never know.
But although they did say finals.
Their forward line is as dangerous as what you could have. So you've got Tom Lynch, who's playing probably career best footy at the moment. Shea Bolton, who's the best player in the game right now. Noah Cumberland, who can kick. So you've got a guy there, Jack Rewald, who's kicked 700 goals, getting the fourth best defender at the moment. So I think on the back of if they can stand up at the back end, and obviously if Luston plays and they'll get Grimes back for the finals, hopefully that's what they said, that's where I was coming from, that maybe they can get to the grand final. But I'm also going to hitch my caravan this week to you and Alistair Clarkson, because I think that long sleeve jumpers should be banned in the AFL.
Brownie. You're not new age.
And I wore them once when I played at the Western Bulldogs, and I look back and it wasn't a great look. So I look at the players now.
I agree with
I'm watching North Melbourne today.
We did them a favour, a fashion statement.
When they've got the stripes, it is a horrendous looking jumper. So I'm looking at Jaden Stevenson today, and I'm not encouraged.
I
look at the jumper, and I saw Mitch Lewis wearing a Hawthorn one last week. I'm not encouraged when I see it.
And it'd be fair to say with AFL players, but as a senior coach, you actually got to encourage them to have a top on.
Yeah.
They love getting their rigs out, right?
It doesn't look as tough. That's all I'm saying. It doesn't look as tough.
No,
a long sleeve
jumper.
You're
saying it looks
doesn't
soft.
Look.
So I'm
short,
soft.
I don't
sleeveless.
Want to say the word soft. I'm saying it doesn't look as tough as a short sleeve jumper.
So sleeveless and stamps we want.
I reckon there was a couple of years ago, and there was a Carlton game where I counted at least 6 or 7 Carlton players that had long sleeves.
Let me guess, they lost
softy.
The game.
Correct.
Oh, there you go.
Well, we can think about this in the break. Who was the toughest long sleeve jumper wearer?
Michael Tuck.
Stephen Silvani was pretty tough.
James Hurd wore a lot of long sleeve. He was pretty tough.
Very good answer.
Got another question?
No, I like that.
Hey,
it's easy to hitch your caravan to someone who's playing really well and is in form and is a tough top draft pick. You know, they're the easy hitches. Okay. So I'm going to hitch my caravan to a bloke who was dropped from the team this week, right? And I'm surprised by it. So I think he's a star. He's a young star, and I think he's going to be a highly sought-after player next year, and I think he's going to be one of the gun key forwards of the competition. Talk about your Oscar Allens and your De Konings and your Kings, etc.
You've hooked us here.
Oscar Allen hasn't played all year.
Oscar Allen.
He's a star though, right?
Yeah. Well, he can be. Could be.
Right. Yeah. Mitch Georgiades at Port Adelaide. A centre-half forward. He's a mobile marking target. He's from WA. He's out of contract next year.
Why did he get dropped?
Well, he hasn't been. He wasn't in.
Hasn't had a kick all year.
Hey, Duck.
He kicked a few in the SANFL, didn't he?
Yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday. They said he responded well. Yeah, have you done your research?
Yeah, he played well on that. But I'm thinking, I'm more broad brush here.
All right.
Right.
Where's he going?
Yeah.
You do look, he has got, you can see that he's got some tricks, he's got some talent, but he just hasn't put it together.
This is the first one you've come up with.
If you're the Pies, would you go after him instead of McStay?
He's kicked 19 goals in 17 games this year as a key forward.
If I was the Pies, I'd be going for Rory Lobb over McStay.
So would I.
Mm.
As a main banana.
I don't see why they need Daniel McStay. I mean, Brady Mychek already does that job. Give me something different. Give me some sort of flexibility. He can play in the ruck as well.
They say he's going to the Bulldogs, which you would probably have line of sight on.
I don't understand that.
What's he going to bring out there?
I think they're stacked for forward talent, the Bulldogs. So I don't understand why they get, unless he's a backup ruckman, but we've been told he doesn't want to play ruck.
Are we thinking that Aaron Norton's going back? Does Aaron Norton fix there?
You don't send a forward back. Why would you?
Well, because Luke Beveridge does anything.
Alex Pearce harder to find than backman. Alex Pearce owned Norton last night.
Yeah, he had little impact. Mm. Yeah, but maybe that's the warming. Maybe
good
that's
the I kicked three. Owen's too strong. Delivery wasn't
Luke
great.
Luke Beveridge was very complimentary of Rory Lobb in his press conference, wasn't he?
Well, let's have a listen.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Well, let's more complimentary than Sam Darcy.
Let's take a listen.
Yeah, well, he was exceptional today, Rory, you know, and they got the ball to him. You know, he worked hard, obviously, and, yeah, in some of those areas he kicked goals from, you know, they're difficult spots, so he really helped. Fremantle maintain that momentum, and he'll always be a handful, you know, with what he does and what he's capable of, and you know what he was at GWS, and he's probably having one of his best years this year, obviously.
Oh,
that's called a sales pitch.
Yeah.
That's called a sales pitch.
He was good though. Where he kicked them from was like,
he's a polarizing player though. You're a Rory Lobb man.
I coached him. We recruited him to the Dockers.
What do you think? Do you get value?
He played some really good footy when I was there. He kicked it, but he went into the ruck a few times, and I said, mate, he could be the best ruckman in the comp. He was getting 20 and kicking goals, and he was kicking as many goals in the ruck as he was forward. So, but yeah, you're right. He doesn't really want to play in the ruck.
Triple M rocks footy. Big moment.
$5 Arena order, Triple M Rocks footy. Massive game today. The Blues up against the Brisbane Lions. Hard to win at the Gabba, and that's where we find the Blues today. And Carlton assistant coach Aaron Hamill's about 1 minute away. But just before we get that, Carlton assistant Aaron Hamill, Jay-Z.
Yes, Brownie, some
good
news.
A little bit more news. Give us 60 seconds of your best.
Good and bad news down there at Arden Street, where Ben Cunnington has made his return in a North Melbourne jumper after the cancer scare. Absolutely fantastic. Believe he had about 18 possessions at three-quarter time. So very busy. A star of that football club, and great to see him out there. But Josh Kennedy suffered a hamstring injury. The Sydney veteran limped off. But he's had some hamstring trouble throughout the season, so that could be bad news. Could potentially end his season. So not good news for Josh Kennedy. Quickly on the MRO, watch last night, Trent Cotchin slung Ollie Wines to the ground. It was a bit of a sling.
No, nothing in it.
He'll be okay.
Nothing in that.
I expect him to be
a week.
Expect him to be cleared of that. I think he was right last night. Chris Scott said he didn't like the pre-finals bye. If it's up to him, he wouldn't have it. How did you feel about the pre-finals bye?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I don't know why they brought it in.
It's Ross's fault they brought it in.
Oh, that's right, because you rested 16 players.
It's called innovation. And see, you can push stuff too far and look what happens.
Do we like it, though, generally as a rule, going forward? I don't think we need it.
Eddie's got a great...
Well, the Bulldogs wouldn't have won a flag if
before,
they didn't have it. Yeah.
Have it before the grand final, like, and have all the events, like the All Australian.
Freshen up the players.
Freshen them up.
Mm.
Yeah, but so it does work if you've got a few injuries and obviously sore players at work. So the Bulldogs don't win that grand final in 16 without that bye.
Without the bye, they don't win it. But people can understand, we were Fremantle flying every second week. Last game of the year, we play St Kilda at Marvel. So it's like, well, we're going to play our first final interstate. We haven't flown back-to-back all year. Why would you do it? So we rested 13 players.
All right, let's get to a man who was going to be assistant coach of the footy club today that hopes they go past that end of season by Aaron Hamill from the Carlton Football Club. Thanks very much for giving up your time. Sammy, what are the conditions like up there at the Gabba, and how are you feeling?
Feeling well. I'm excited. Good opportunity that lies ahead. Conditions are, you couldn't ask for a better day. I think roughly 22-odd, but slight breeze, but... all in all, a pretty good day for footy.
Now, we know it's all about the Brisbane Lions today, but how did you review last week? It was a game that you probably let slip that you thought you'd put in the book and potentially put you in finals contention.
Yeah, it was. Look, it wasn't really a too indifferent week. You know, we review every phase quite heavily. You know, clearly the contested work, which is really our one wood around the ground in terms of field position and territory, and you know, the contest way and the method we went away from, and they really showed us up in an area which was our key strength. So we look forward to the boys getting back to work on that, and clearly giving them 64 entries against is just way too many. And for any defence to hold up a, you know, with 64 against you wasn't ideal. It's not how we want to play. We couldn't retain it in our front half really. So we've gone in with a little bit of a different mix this week. So we'll see where that lands. But purely, you know, the contest and our ground ball numbers and work rate we'd expect to be at a high level.
Sammy, as coaches the last few weeks, you've had some match committee issues. I know you've had some injuries as well and players coming in and out. But have you got a feel as coaches what ideally your best team would look like coming into finals? Because Mark Pitnett came in for a game. He's now being managed today. You've got the Silvani conundrum and the three tools. Are you still just trying to work out what the best look is will be when you get the finals?
Well, I think so, Joe. We've got, you know, Martin's come back in, so he can almost play that tall, that hybrid type forward as well, but we expect him to put a heap of pressure on, really. That's why he's there. And the one with Pitto, it was always going to be a delicate one. You know, he plays in such a combative position. He had a couple of AFL games under his belt, but really it was just a reminder of us that, you know, it's just a significant difference from VFL level and the work rate required to get it done at AFL level. So he was off a fair way, you know. Didn't pull up as well as what we'd expect him to. So we're just managing this week. And Soss is another one where we know he's a combative player for us. And he feels a ruck from the front half. So we're still trying to get that look. We've done it a couple of different ways, Joey, that has worked. And last week we felt that we didn't quite get the retention in the front half. Hence, we've gone in with the one ruck today.
Aaron, do you take anything out of the Richmond game? So Richmond gave Brisbane their game. In the first quarter, they gave him a spare at the stoppage, took a plus one, allowed him 27 uncontested marks, and then they equalised after that and just sliced off. Their uncontested marks took their game away. Is that something you guys will try to do?
Yeah, I think so, Ross. Anything through the corridor, we need to really get our hands on it and really take that off them. I mean, Rich is another one that comes in today, Rich and Coleman, that are quite aggressive by nature through there, so... Our ability for our backs to condense the ground and manage the ground well with those mids is clearly going to have, you know, a really strong input in that. And as we use the ball inside 50, we've got to give ourselves a chance to let our team defence get set up and those boys to get to work. So it's a combination, as you know, ball in hand and the way we defend. We'd like to think that we, in those two phases in particular, we give ourselves a chance. But the corridor clearly is a focus for them and it's certainly a focus for us to take that off them.
What about Lachie Neale? Aaron, do you have someone planned for a role on him?
Yeah, look, we'll rotate a couple on, you know, we'll certainly make him accountable at stoppages, whether it be Chair or Walsh or, you know, we expect someone to come to Cripper there or potentially Walshy, but, you know, we're certainly going to have to keep an eye on his numbers. We know that his inside work's elite and his transition game and contest to contest is certainly up there among the best. So we'll have our hands full in there and it'll be certainly a close watch, but we'll certainly make him accountable at stoppage.
22 degrees up there today. You're a big baby oil man back in your day when you played at the Blues and the Saints. Is there anyone at Carlton who would be putting the baby oil on thinking, I might just get a few extra rays. I'll go back to Melbourne in the middle of winter.
Well, I haven't got many feathers up top these days, Brandy, so I'm trying to look for a bit of shade up here. But, no, I've never owned a pair of budgies. Not really my go, mate. But there's a couple that fancy themselves, but... Big Griffin might have the baby all on. He's quite primed and pumped for this week. So, yeah, we'll see.
So just on your ins, Sammy, do you want to talk us through? I had a look. I haven't done. Does Dow come in? Has Dow come in? And
yeah,
he's
Paddy
really good
come.
Form. And, like, there's a lot of talk about him and your midfield's been so settled, but he's waited a long time for an opportunity. He comes in, plays midfield, and yeah, he's a real chance to get the work for you.
Yeah, he is, and that's the plan, Ross, without Hewitt and obviously Kennedy there, two really prime movers for us all year, which has given us a little bit of flexibility with Walshy, but he'll come in as an inside mid. He's been in really good form at VFL level. Not so much worried about his disposals and what he does there. It's probably what he does without the ball and his defensive transition. So he's in really good form with that part of his game.
but we expect him to crack in for us, and then the transition game plays part.
Best of luck today, Sammy. You only need one to play finals, but I imagine you want to win all three against the Brisbane Lions. I think you played Collingwood and also the Demons, so best of luck.
Appreciate it, gents. Enjoy your call.
Download the Listener app now to stream every game on Triple M Footy.
Lightning start.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Sunday afternoon doesn't get much better than spending it with the Duck, Ross, Joey, and also Jay-Z for the gem. This is the Triple M Sunday Rub, Brisbane up against Carlton. Jay-Z, let's talk about some more news. Let's talk about some trade news. Let's talk about Buddy. Let's talk about everything.
Yes, there is some really interesting player movement stuff as Joey points to the scoreboards. It's Sydney up by 16 points over North Melbourne. Joey, the Swans 9-12-66 over North Melbourne 8-2-50. And Nick Larkey, I think, has got five.
Kangas having a crack in front of the Premiership heroes that are still there watching the game.
Choice Hotels around the grounds.
You've inspired them, Duck. It's fair to say,
think Duck's still there.
This year's trade period.
Oh, you bugs.
It is really heating up, with Adelaide making an $800,000 a year offer for Isaac Rankin. The Suns are saying, look, we can't match those financial terms. That's how they got into trouble previously, trying to pay their kids too much. So they'll try and convince him to stay, but they're not going to try and match that Adelaide offer. So it's probably one he can't refuse, really. So expect
Isaac. Why can't they match it for him? Like, he's a up-and-coming star.
He's just starting to show what he can do,
He's just starting. King's been matched. They've Lukosius, and they've matched a few of them.
They've got $800. I don't think
they're it was $900. Is he worth that? That's a big match.
No, he's not.
You don't have to match. Do you have to match it exactly? Or can you offer him $700 and say, look, you're getting slightly less to stay at a club that we're building. You've been playing really good footy. Because I seem like a Shea Bolton type that can play up into the midfield.
Still a lot.
Well, I think
Tom Stewart gets paid $500, right? You know, he'd be shaking his head at that sort
of thing. Yeah, but Adelaide haven't got any class and talent compared to Rankin, right? They've got a lot of grunt. And
Rochelle?
Well, they haven't got too much. Rankin's a pretty special talent. People told us he should have been taking pick one ahead of Walsh, right? So, but for that young man, his family's back there, but the pressure that Adelaide, Port only, big money, like, the pressure's going to come for him if he takes it. Whereas the Gold Coast, he's building, there's been talk around him, but he can just fly under the radar a little bit. So it's got to be, I hope he's thinking all the way through this move.
Essendon are talking to Dyson Heppel, trying to get him to re-sign, but the interest from Gold Coast is genuine. They think he can be a very important leader for them in the back half. So it's going to be interesting. I think a decision will be made in the next 2 weeks. Will Dyson Heppel, the captain of Essendon, remain a one club?
Why not just take the 1 year like Mundy did for 5 or 6 years?
At the Bombers?
Yeah. Back yourself in, son. Take the 1 year.
Is he offended by the money offer?
There's a thought there that's a little bit disrespectful.
So what's he on now?
He's been on good money throughout his whole career. I think he's sort of 500-ish sort of right now. But
and
I think,
what's the offer? Three? Yeah,
I think it starts with a three or thereabouts.
That's below the minimum. I mean, the average.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, that's low.
Yeah, but how many games is he going to play for Essendon?
Very hard doing 300 outside of footy.
Yeah, that's right. He's earned a lot of good money for a long time. Essendon are going to, you like to think, for him, going to come into some success. Does he take a sacrifice? Do the 1 year, allow them to maybe spend some money on some other players they might target.
They're going to be successful.
I do. I'm bullish on Essendon. Really? I've said that all year. And you argued with me about 6 weeks ago about this.
I'm still right. How are they going?
Dyson,
they got beat by GWS. They got smacked. GWS haven't been able to beat anyone.
Joey still actually owes the producer $100 for not making the finals.
Yeah, they officially can't make it now. So I do owe Rabsy $100.
Maybe he needs a fresh start because he's been to hell and back there in the whole club. I think it might be a win for both of them just to part ways.
I'm not sure Essendon think he's necessarily, you know, best 22 next year in their life. But the big one is Lance Franklin, isn't it? Because it was a big statement yesterday, caught us all by surprise. He said he's going to put off a decision on his future until the end of the season, potentially until after the Swans have a crack at this year's premiership. So the line of the theory here is that Jacinta's got family in Queensland and that he could potentially even retire at the end of the season to focus on his family, etc. Brisbane said, well, they'll consider Buddy Franklin. Gold Coast will do the same. Has anyone got a gut feel on what Lance Franklin, Duck? I mean, I think he's played 16 seasons so far. He's on screen now. Do you think Lance Franklin should change clubs for potentially the last season of his career, or is he better off either retiring a Swan or continuing for one more year?
I never thought he'd leave. Words in the paper shocked me. I don't believe everything I read, so how much truth is behind it? I heard, you know, they're looking at property. That doesn't mean you can buy property in a state and not move there. But I would be surprised if he left the Swans, to be honest with you. I think that I would be very surprised. And look, Buddy's a lot closer to the end than he is, and he's way past his best. He still contributes. Like today, I think he's kicked a might have kicked one or two. He's had four or five possessions, but he's a 10, 11, 12 possession player now. And on a good day, he's kicking you three goals. So does he take a good defender? Yes, he does. Does he put bums on seats? Yes, he does. So for Gold Coast or Brisbane, I could see how that could possibly work.
What a goal, Buddy. What a goal from Franklin.
And Buddy's just kicked a,
on his right foot. He wouldn't have done too many of them.
A weak ripper. Yeah. So,
choice hotels around the grounds.
So there you go.
That was a brilliant
He's probably
goal.
Worth yeah. 800.
72 to 51.
Timing's worth everything.
He's going to call it. Buddy Franklin leads out. The bounce of the ball gets to him. So he's got Aiden Corr on his hammer. Burn picks it up. Right foot snap across the body. I don't think I've ever seen him kick on his right foot.
I think the goal last
Aiden
week on his
Corr
right
didn't
too.
Turn that well,
no,
did he?
No. Buddy, off, if Buddy's turning you like that.
What do you guys think on it?
No, I mean, it's a hard one because if it's a family decision, it feels, if that's the conversation now, where they're at a point of their life where maybe they've moved to Sydney and he's had his time as a had a career there, you start weighing up other options. So it's sort of a hard one to have an opinion on what he should do because it's a it feels like it's a bit more of a family lifestyle decision. I'd love to see him
stay
at the
Swans. What about from Brisbane then? What should they take
Well, if they lose McStay and he's available, I would take him for 1 year, absolutely, from the Brisbane Lions.
I think the other one, Brisbane.
Well, he hits the scoreboard and gets
good
more
enough, especially if they're in the window to win a flag. I'd play him for a year.
Brisbane is looking at Jack Gunston from Hawthorn.
He would be very good.
The Hawks, I believe, have got a 2-year deal on the table for Jack and hope he re-signs, but he's certainly attracting strong interest.
Is he a Clarko boy? Sorry to cut across you. So if Clarko went to North, would that appeal to Gunston?
I don't believe Gunston. I don't believe they've spoken. I think Liam Shields is a big target.
Yeah, I love him.
For any Alistair Clarkson coach club next year, we think North Melbourne. But Gunston weighing up strong interest. 5 goals yesterday is very good. 5 goals against North Melbourne. It's been a late season flourish for the Premiership Hawk.
So Hawthorn, so Carl Amon, we're led to believe they're well into Carl Amon, $600,000 a year at 5 years. Is that still?
Lock that in. Yep.
Lock that in. Yep. 600 for Carl Amon.
Should the Hawks keep Gunston, Ross Duck? Do you think
you'd
Hawks?
Be trying to. I think Jack Gunston's
he's been critical.
He's kicked 5 yesterday.
I don't know what their list management plan is. And what would you get for him if he leaves?
He's a free agent. So it would be a free agent compensation. So it depends on the deal and his age. So that's probably a third round pick.
I heard Kane Corns this morning on Port just saying then they got a big decision on their coach, Kenny Hinckley. I wouldn't have thought there's any decision to be made there, is there? Because he's normally supportive, Kane. And I thought he changed his tune today.
Koshy's been adamant all year that Ken Hinckley's contracted for next year and he will fill that contract, but he's been very quiet over the past week or two.
He should get the final.
He deserves
year,
another year.
Gee whiz, the injuries they had.
Yeah. He deserves another crack with that group. Port
Absolutely
Adelaide.
Does. I think where he was coming from is maybe the change of a 10-year tenure of Nathan Buckley has done the players good at Collingwood and Craig McRae comes in. Does the same thing happen if they freshen it up at Port Adelaide? I think that's where he was coming from.
I think it was a style of play, though, Collingwood. That control and in the end was enough. But Kenny plays let's go brand. So I don't think that's a stale.
So we've got about a minute left. Yep. What about the Rory Lobb deal? I mean, the Bulldogs are heavy into him. Is Collingwood an opportunity to get Rory Lobb? That would fit better.
McStay deal's done. I'm not sure why you're still going. McStay's done.
I think they're committed to McStay, and that's been in
what do they pay to get Rory Lobb? That's all going to tie in if Jackson, all of that. Please.
450, 500.
Because you're hearing Akers hasn't been done. He's been important. So they're getting organised, the Dockers, salary cap, and then picks, aren't they?
With Luke Jackson on the way into Fremantle. You think Rory Lobb. But if Rory Lobb comes and plays ruck forward, right, they got Jamara Ugalhagen. They got Josh Bruce. So does that mean that Aaron Norton goes back?
I don't understand where you're coming from with Aaron Norton going back. I don't know why you'd play him centre-half back when he's one of the best
dominant centre-half back as a junior. He can play, and they're vulnerable there. I hear there's been personnel change, but they look vulnerable. They was it Cordy last night? And I mean, Lobb's no Jesse Hogan. I'm, I'm struggling for something, but he can play. I don't know.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.